Good morning, everybody. So how are you finding this weather then? Yeah, typical lovely wet Swansea weather. Never mind. Okay, well, there are some things that really cheer me up, whatever the weather. And one thing is, if we have the first slide up, Rob, please. The first thing is, I love a yes. I got to admit, I really love a yes. I'm sure we're all the same, but I don't know if I have this particular love that I really do love a yes. So if I'm organizing anything, I might send someone a little text and they go, yes, I love that moment. Yes, I really love it. Now, our washing machine even says yes. Now, when I get in my car, it says hello. Now, that's nice, right? That's nice. But the washing machine says yes. And every time it does it, I feel it gives me a buzz. I love it. So this is how our washing machine works. You put a load of washing in, you close the door, you press go, and you know the washing starts. And as you walk away from the machine, you spot a towel or some socks you dropped on the floor, or there's a little bit of washing. Like, oh no, it's going to be weeks before I have a white wash again. If only I had remembered to put it in the machine. Oh yes, my machine might just say yes. And I go back to my machine, there's a little button on it, and you press pause, and the machine has a sink, and you wait. You're there holding the dirty towel that should have gone in, and you're waiting. And as you wait, the machine is having a think, and it's thinking, well, and sometimes it says to you, do you know, really, you should have remembered that towel. You should have put it in. You're just slacking now. But it has a little think, and then it says, yes. And up on the little screen, here it is, on my machine, the word yes comes up on the machine. I love it. Every time, I feel so excited. I open the machine, put the towel in, ha, 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 close the door, press play, go. And the machine, yeah, it sings as well. And the machine, now, occasionally, my machine has said no. You know, and I've put something in, and it's having a little think, and it goes, really, you should know better by now. And the answer is no. I don't like that so much, but I really like a yes. Now, the other day, I was in my favorite shop, and there was a summer sale. And I don't like sales, really, in shops. I don't like going through everything. I find that really boring. Some people are good at it. I'm not very good. I tend to go for the new stuff that's in. But this occasion, something caught my eye, and there was a little pink coat. Now, when you see it in the winter, it's a rather strange, odd, funny little pink coat, and that's probably why it was in the sale. But I loved it, and I thought, I've been looking for a little soft pink coat just like this. Picked it up, reduced from £80 to £50. Oh, that's a bit much for me, really, £50. Wasn't really planning on buying a winter coat right now in the middle of August. Oh, this is July. So I started putting it on, looking in the mirror, looking up and down, and the manager comes over and goes, good bargain, that £50. I said, well, not really at £50, because it is last year's. I'll give you £30 for it. And he said, no, the price says 50. It's down from 80. It's already a bargain. And I said, well, but I'll give you 30 for it. And he said, no, the price is 50. So anyway, by now I could see other people looking at me in the shop and looking at the coat, and it was the only one. And I thought, I'm not letting go of this. So I walked around the store looking at everything else, holding on to my little pink coat. And then again, I tried it on again. And the guy came up to me and he said, you're still trying the coat on. You know, really, it does suit you. You should buy it. I said, yeah, 50's a bit much though. I'll give you 30. And he went, oh, I'll go and look at the computer. So he went off to the computer, tap, 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 with this number and everything in the computer. And he came back and he said, yes. In fact, he not only said yes, but he said, as it's last year's stock, I'll sell it to you for 20. Isn't that amazing? And it just so happened I was taking something back, so I actually got it for £8. Now, I really like a yes. So, was a little cheeky, I know, a little audacious. Now, today's amaze is all about yes, and it's all about Jesus saying yes. And we have these questions with Jesus where we say, if I follow you, Lord, can I find you? Yes. Will you be with me, Lord? Yes. Will you help me? Yes. Can I rely on you? Yes. The answer is yes. And in this passage we're looking at today, Jesus is saying to us, I am the yes man. My response is yes. And so this part of the, there we are, Amaze series, We're looking at, for those who might be here for the first time today, we've been looking at the time when Jesus sits on the mountainside. All the multitudes have gone, but there are crowds and crowds of his followers, his actual disciples, who are saying, I'm serious, I'm up for this. What does living life with you look like? And Jesus starts to teach them about this relationship between us and him. And so we can imagine this morning, as these words have been handed down, that we're that very audience sat on the mountainside with Jesus saying these words to us. And there can be a tendency to switch off when we have lots of scripture. So I'm encouraging you now to engage with the words of Jesus to you and to me. So here we go. Jesus said to them, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. Enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. So Jesus is here on the mountainside teaching his disciples, and we're going to look at this in three parts. And the first part we're going to look at is ask. So Jesus is saying here to everybody, including us, he is saying, ask me. Now to ask someone, we have to be able to trust they can deliver. So he's saying, ask me, trust me, don't be afraid, don't be shy, don't hold back, but ask. Now, us British, we don't like asking too much, do we? We like to hang back a little bit. And Adam was telling me a story the other day about how one anniversary or birthday, he and Sean went to the Cowder Arms for a couple of nights to celebrate their birthdays or anniversary. And they arrived in the room, everything's great, lovely little room, but the plumbing was so noisy that they could hear the plumbing of the whole hotel. And they thought, well, it'll pass in a minute. Didn't pass. It'll get better in a minute. It got worse. And after a while, they're like, should we go down? I don't know. It's awkward. You know, does it change the atmosphere? In the end, Adam goes down and he says, please, would it be possible to move our room because the plumbing is too noisy? And it turns out that on the reception desk, they knew all about the noisy plumbing and that they were in the noisy room. And so they upgraded them immediately to the top floor, to a beautiful suite up there that they didn't have just one, but two nights in this upgrade. And Adam was glad he asked. Now, this is a little like us. We don't like to ask, do we? Now, have you ever been in a restaurant where your meal arrives, you've waited ages, the meal arrives, and it's a bit burnt? You know, it's a bit chewy or something a bit wrong with it. Now, I remember once we were doing some work in Southampton and we went to Ask restaurant and my sea bass and salad came and it was rather black and I turned it over and it was so burnt. And you go, well, how burnt is it? What do you think? And Julian's like, well, is it really that burnt? Can you just put up with it? Oh, I'll try and put up with it. How burnt is it? And you're like, starting to eat it, and then you think, this is inedible, I don't like to do this, but I'm really going to have to call the manager over and say, I'm sorry, this fish is burnt. Now, when I called her over and she saw it, she was furious that it had even been carried out into the restaurant. Have you ever been in that situation? Have you been in that uncomfortable, I don't like to ask? Now, Jesus is saying to us, in our British culture, he is smashing through that and saying, in the relationship with me, ask, 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 because I want to say yes. And that is who Jesus is. He is saying to us, ask, seek, knock. Now in this passage, he says it three times, like ask, seek, and knock. It's all pretty much the same thing, but he says each one double. He says, ask and it will be given you, for everyone who asks receives. Seek and you will find, the one who seeks finds. Knock and the door will be opened to you. To the one who knocks, the door will be opened. For emphasis, he says it twice for us to get the point. So Jesus says to us, yes, loud and clear, come to me in this relationship. I am the yes. I want to be found. So ask me, seek me, knock, and see the door open. Now, sometimes we might be in a culture where we're used to making do, or I don't like to ask, or I just put up with this. And then we carry that into our Christianity. But Jesus this morning wants to blow that away in all our, you know, timid, that'll do, that's okay, I don't like to ask. Jesus wants to blow that away and say, ask, see what I will do. Ask me because I am the yes. Now, the question is this, what is he saying yes to? And when he talks about the Father in heaven will give good gifts to those who ask, what are the good gifts? So what is he saying yes to? What is the ask and what are the good gifts? The first one, yes. This is the first big yes. Jesus is saying yes to the answer to life, to the kingdom, to eternal life with him and a life and journey with him now. That's the first big yes. He's saying to every person who seeks me out, to every person who is looking for the answer to life, I am here, I want to be found, ask me, I am here. Now, later, remember, Jesus tells the story about the lost sheep. Remember, the shepherd leaves the 99 because one has gone astray, and he goes everywhere looking for this lost sheep, and when he finds it, he is so happy. And in Matthew 18, it says, and he finds it, and if he finds it, truly I tell you, he is happier than one sheep, about that one sheep, than the 99 who did not wander off. And in the same way, your Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones should perish. So Jesus came with a mission. This was his big yes. If you ask what's the meaning to life, if you ask Jesus, can I live with you in this life and beyond? On that day that I die, where will I go? Can I have eternal life with you? That's the big ask, and the answer is yes. It is not his desire that any of these little ones should perish. Now, when we look at the gospel, the problem of our life with God is this. The things that we do wrong separate us from God. And so we are separated from God and the good things and from heaven. We're separated. And so we want to ask, what is the answer to life? What am I here for? Is there an eternity? Can I spend it to God? And when we come to him and ask, and we say, Lord, forgive me for all the things I've done wrong. I want to go your way in life. He says, yes, because I died on the cross in everybody's place, and I took all the punishment for sin on myself. The answer is now yes, an all-encompassing yes. And Jesus was the solution to the things that we've done wrong, that they're wiped away, and then we have life with Jesus now here on earth and for eternity. And all those questions about where will I go when I die, what will happen when this life ends, are answered in Jesus. He is the yes. He says, for every person, if you want to follow me, I am here. So Jesus brings this yes to all. All who ask, receive. All who seek will find, the door will be opened. Now, how does it feel when you're stood in front of a door waiting to knock? Right? Going into a new house, visiting someone you've never met before, or you've been called to the headmaster's office. You're standing in front of a door knocking. And Jesus says, don't have that trepidation or that fear when you stand at my door and knock, because I am the one with yes. And when we knock on the door, he opens it wide for us. And if we remember only one thing this morning, it's this. He wants us to ask because he's ready to say yes. And that's what Jesus is saying to the crowd here. Ask, seek, knock, because I have this incredible promise that loud and clear, I bring the yes. And the second thing is the good gifts. Now, with the good gifts, when it says about the Father loves to give good gifts to those who ask, when we're asking, what are the good gifts that we're asking for? And Jesus paints a picture for the crowd of a hungry boy sat at a table. And so there's this hungry boy sat at a table with an empty plate, and he's asking his dad for tea. And he says, Dad, can I have some bread? Or Dad, can I have a fish? Or Dad, in Luke it records, can I have an egg? And he says, what father would bring their son a stone instead of bread? What father would do that? A child is hungry and he wants to satisfy his child's needs. How can a child gnaw on a stone? And if the child asks for a fish, says Jesus, who would give him a snake that would harm him? And if, later in Luke records, if the child asks for an egg, Dad, can I have an egg for tea? What father would put a scorpion on the plate that could do him harm? And he says, if you who are evil or, you know, we're just human, if we know how to give good gifts, how much more will the Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask? And this is about who Jesus is. He is saying in our approach to prayer, when we have that empty plate and we are asking him for a fish or an egg or bread, he says, I'm not going to trick you. I'm not going to hold out on you. I'm not going to mock you. I'm not going to give you a stone when you ask for bread. I'm not going to give something that will harm you when you ask for something nutritious. And it's all about the relationship with Jesus, that we can trust him, and that when we ask, he wants to give us good gifts. So don't hesitate to ask. A couple of summers ago, Julian and I were doing a mission in Milford Haven. And we were in this tent every night and teaching and praying for the sick. I remember two ladies coming up to me in one evening, and one lady came up to me and she was in her early 80s, and she said to me, I've always believed in God, but all my life I have never liked to ask him for anything for myself. In 80 odd years, she had never asked Jesus for something for herself. But her friend came forward, and her friend was deaf in both ears. And she took her hearing aid out and put it in her pocket. And she said, I want to ask Jesus to heal my ears tonight. I'm in my early 80s. I can't hear anything, can't hear my friends. I feel like behind a glass wall. I feel shut out. And once I take this hearing aid out, I can't hear what you pray. So I said, go ahead, take it out. She took the other one out. And I put my hands over her ears. And I said, in the name of Jesus, deaf ears be healed. Her ears were healed. They were opened. She could hear perfectly. She said, thank you very much. I'm glad I asked. And walked away with two hearing aids in her pockets. One lady afraid to ask for 80 years. One lady, Jesus, heal my deafness. Healed of all her deafness. We need to ask because he wants to say yes. So what are the good gifts? Well, in the Luke passage, we see the good gifts are two things. They're the Holy Spirit and they're our answers to prayer. So I'm just going to read to you the story that Jesus tells in Luke. Jesus said to them, suppose you have a friend and you go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to my house in the middle of the night and I've got no food for him. And supposing the one inside says, don't bother me, the door is already locked and my children are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. But I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks you for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And it's about the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit, he is the third person of the Trinity, and he is an essential gift to us. When Jesus ascended back to heaven, he said to the disciples, wait in Jerusalem until I send you the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is inside of us. And when we take that journey with Jesus to be a Christian and follow him with all our heart, the Holy Spirit is deposited inside us, but there's also a baptism in the Holy Spirit. And the baptism in the Holy Spirit is where we are filled with the Spirit of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, who is with us every day. He is like the oil in the works. We can't live our Christian life without the Holy Spirit guiding us, teaching us, showing us, moving us every day. It'll be like like running on less battery than we could be. And Jesus intends us to be filled with his Holy Spirit, that every day the Holy Spirit opens the Bible to us. He helps us to worship. He helps us to pray. He moves us and guides us every single day. It's like the rain of the Holy Spirit in our life. He is the oil. And so it's essential. This good gift, Jesus says, ask. And it's essential that we ask Jesus to be filled with his Holy Spirit, that we're empowered to live this Christian life and not trying to live it out of our own strength. But that's another talk, and we've got plenty of them on our website. So if you are interested in the Holy Spirit and the baptism of the Holy Spirit, go on our website in the little tag that says talks and look up the Holy Spirit. We have lots of talks where you can discover more, or we can just pray for you afterwards. So the other thing is answers to prayer. And Jesus here is talking about our relationship with him, with asking him, and how he will answer our prayers. Now remember last week when we were looking at, Matthew was looking at in Matthew 6, about Jesus saying, don't worry what you will eat or what you will wear or what you will drink. Everyone in the world runs after these things, but your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. And we learned last week how, as we're in the pursuit of the kingdom and following Jesus, God knows about our needs and he wants to meet them, but he wants us to come and ask. So like a father, he can meet our needs. Now also in James, he says in James 4, 2-3, he talks to the church there and says, you do not have because you do not ask. And so sometimes there's a burden on our hearts or something that we need to do or we would like to do or we need God in our lives, but we don't like to ask him. And so James encourages and says, you do not have because you don't ask. But then he goes on to say, for some others, when you ask, you do not receive your answer to prayer because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. So this is interesting. So with prayer, we come to God with our needs and the things we need. But James is saying here, it's no good coming to Jesus with like, I want to find treasure at the end of a rainbow. And I want that Ferrari. And it's greed's not needs. Because James says, you know, God's not going to answer those prayers. But he will answer what's good for you. Now also, we know that sometimes there's a timing that we're praying for something, but there's a timing of the answer to prayer. And that's why in the Greek here, when it says ask, seek, and knock, the Greek language actually means keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. And it's talking about our persistence. And sometimes Jesus is looking for how persistent we are with this. Is it just a one-off, oh Lord, can you sort this? Or actually, are we on our knees saying, Lord, meet the needs of my friend? Or we're praying, or we're persistent. So he says, keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. Jesus says, have persistence in prayer. Now with the story about disturbing your friend at night, can you imagine this happens to you? It's midnight and a friend arrives from a long journey unexpectedly. You've got no food in the house. That would probably happen in our house. Somebody would arrive in the middle of the night and be like, oh no, the fridge is empty as usual. I know who will have food. Let's go over to Sian's. Let's drive over to Sian's. They're bound to have just baked a batch of cakes, or there's something for a buffet, or let's go and knock Sian up. And we could drive over to Sian and Adam's and we'd be out there tooting the horn, banging, knocking on the door. And Jesus is saying here, they're not helping you out of friendship. They would help you out of friendship. But actually, it's your sheer audacity to be there in the middle of the night. And they'd be like, oh, they won't go away. So Adam, nip downstairs and just get them something. Just throw those bread rolls out the window. Or here's a cake I just baked. Here it is. And Jesus says, he is so much more than that. That even if our friends would help us because we're cheeky, Jesus says, try it on with me. Try on a little bit of shameless audacity with me. Now, I love that. This is the cheeky ask. Now, I like a bit of a cheeky ask. But Jesus is saying, do that with me. Now, in the Greek, shameless audacity is the word anadia. Okay, it means shameless audacity. And what does it mean? Audacious, bold, brash, brazen, cheeky, fresh, impertinent. Not quite sure what the fresh means, but there we are, impertinent. And Jesus is inviting that. He's saying, try me. Come on, you know, I'm so big. Ask me. Try me. See what I will do. Don't be small in your prayers. Be audacious. Be cheeky. Come to me. Don't hold back. And it's all about our relationship with him. He is saying, I'm not this tight-fisted, very small little God who's going to eke things out to you, but I am gracious and I am big and I forgive sins and I give gifts and I pour the Holy Spirit out and I'm here to answer your prayers. Just try me. Be shameless in your audacity. Now, when we were pioneering the church, we were poor for a very long time, and it starts to wear you down a bit. And we had the generosity of friends and relatives and many miracles, but you're in it every single day, and there isn't a miracle every day. Or a generous friend might help you, but that comes to the end of itself, and then you're still facing the difficulty of it. And I remember Zeno coming for Sunday lunch with us. The first Sunday he turned up in church, and he came home, and we're driving home, and I was thinking, I just don't have anything to feed this student. And I went in the fridge, and I had half a packet of fish fingers and a loaf of bread, and I made us all fish finger sandwiches. I said nothing. I don't know if he's expecting Sunday roast, and Zeno does like his nice Italian food, but we sat with fish finger sandwich. There are things that are a little humiliating sometimes when you have no money. And I remember waking up every morning with this burden and pressure of how would I feed the children that day? How would I clothe the children? They would have to take it in turns for a new coat. And it was really, really hard in those early years. And I remember one day a church in America had paid for us to fly over and teach in this big conference. And I was a little nervous, and I nipped into the loos for a bit of an emergency go before speaking, right? So I went into the loos, and I was just thinking about my talk, and I went in, and as I opened the door of the toilet to go in, the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and I heard him ever so clearly say to me, what do you want? Like that, what do you want? And straight away I said, to be free of financial worry. Now, there are many things I probably could have asked for, but that was the most pressing thing that, as a young mum, wore me down every day. And we did the conference, and when we came back, a funder visited the gap, and a funder came up to visit. And when we ran the gap, we'd had one grant that two of the boys shared between them to run the project. So they were on 7,000 each, and I was doing a 40-hour week for free because there was no more funding. And so the three of us were running this project, and this lady arrived, and she looked at all our work and looked at the students and the results, and she said, how come you're not paid? And I said, well, there isn't any money. And so she went away and applied for funding and came back and found me a wage. And she found me a wage. And I was like, oh, this is just amazing. So the church was still very small and struggling financially, with the gap was so expensive and things like that. But the church was growing. And when the wage arrived, it meant that we could move house, because the house we lived in, we were there 7 years and we were burgled 16 times in the 7 years. And it got to the point where you didn't feel anything was safe anymore. And we would drive back from a trip and we'd all sit in the car, and Julian would say, stay in the car, I'll go and check the house. Because so many times we just walk back in with the children and the children would see all the smashed glass on the floor, and you'd walk into the house, it'd be really cold because the wind is coming through a smashed window or a door. And so in the end, to protect the children from that, we would drive home and he'd say, I'll go in and check the house first. And so again, I made another prayer and I said, Lord, I would like to move house to somewhere safe. I just can't be... We're pioneering the church, we're running the gap, but this is so holding us up to keep finding our car is stolen or we've been burgled again. And in those days we didn't have a TV or video, but I remember a friend lent us theirs, and so we could just watch the video over Christmas, and that got stolen while we were doing Christmas service. It was like endless. And so we were able to move to the house we're in now, and God answered my prayer request, and we moved to somewhere safe, never ever been burgled in all the time we've lived there, so we could move house. And now I was free from that financial worry, and I could buy luxury items like yogurts and cling film. And these are things that are the luxury. There's a line of the luxury items, and now I could walk in, and instead of eking out the pennies, I could buy food for the children. For me, that was an audacious request. What is your audacious request? What is it that you need to ask Jesus for? Because he wants to say yes when we ask him. Now, there's a thought about this, what Jesus is saying to us. Ask, seek, and knock. And the thought is this. Jesus is being incredibly generous to us. So generous, so generous. He's saying, seek me out. My desire is to be found. But the question is, are we seeking? Can we be bothered to seek? In the West, our Christianity sometimes has become very passive. And we're getting on with our own thing and our own cares and our own concerns. And are we like that hungry boy with an empty plate, saying, Jesus, just fill my life, just walk with me? Are we hungry for the answers to life? Are we hungry to walk with Jesus? Or have we become passive and forgotten about the generous Jesus just waiting to give us everything? Because every relationship has two sides, and there's effort required on both sides. So just as Jesus is offering this incredible promise, he has done all the work. He went all the way to the cross. He's offering us the yes. He is offering us the Holy Spirit. But are we seeking? Are we putting in the effort on our side? Now, when I was in Cardiff University, just before I went away to uni, my parents bought me a ring for my 18th birthday. And it was a vintage ring, and it was a little ring with a diamond in the middle. And I had a twin brother at the time. We both had a ring. He had like a blokey ring, and I had this ring with a little diamond. And I went off to uni, and I found it strangely like comforting that I'd gone off to uni and left home. But my parents had bought me this ring, and it was close to me, and I wore it every day. Anyway, one day with my friends in Cardiff, the university in Cardiff is spread out. It's not a campus university like Swansea, but spread out, all different buildings. So one day we went to our English lecture in the English building. Then we went into the library to do a little bit of work and chat, probably more than working. Then we went down to the law building. Some of our friends did law, had a coffee. Then at lunchtime, we went all the way down to the student union to have lunch. And at this point, I realized that the diamond had fallen out of my ring. I was with a group of friends, there's about six or seven of us. I said, oh no, I can't believe it. The diamond has fallen out. Now, we'd all been together all morning. And they said, well, you'll never find it now. Because we've been everywhere. And you're never going to find it. And I said, well, I'm going to look. And they said, we'll help you look. And so we went back to every place that we'd been to, the law building, the university, the library, the English lecture. And then after about an hour and a half, my friends were still looking with me. Now, this is persistence with seeking. We were seeking, we were seeking, we were seeking, we were seeking. I was amazed that they wouldn't give up. I wouldn't give up. But finally, after an hour and a half, we had to face the fact that this tiny little diamond in the ring was probably never going to be found again. And we were stood in the library, and in the library there'd be two people on a little like gate to stop you stealing books. You know, so if you had to do your books, you had to go through this machine, beep, beep, and then this little door would open. So we were chatting by the bloke on the gate. And the bloke on the gate said, oh, you know, what's the matter? What's happening? And I said, oh, look, can you see this ring? I've lost the diamond out of the middle. And we've looked all over, and I've lost it, and just a bit sad about it, really. And he looked over on the side, and he just literally put his hand lazily onto the carpet like this, because he saw something shiny. And he picked it up, and he said, wouldn't be that, would it? It was the diamond. Ask, because he wants to say yes. But how bad are we seeking? How much do we want him? Because Jesus wants to say yes. Are we actively searching? Now, recently, when John Hurt, the famous actor, he just got knighted earlier in the year. And he was talking about when he was young, in the 40s, there was a whole load of actors and artists and writers who used to meet in Soho, and they would meet together. And they said, we were just so hungry for everything that we would be there. And that because of the, to quote him, he said, there used to be an enormous camaraderie in Soho, encouraged by licensing laws, which restricted opening times, causing various private clubs to spring up. They attracted created people. I had endless conversations with Francis Bacon, Lucian Freud, Jeff, and others. And he says this, we wanted to seek to find, to be interested, heighten awareness, talk. And a lot of these people went on to be very famous with their art and philosophy and writing and acting. And he said, we were hungry in those days. And he says, when I go back to the area now, I just see people who just want to get drunk. It's like passive. They just want to get drunk. And he said, although we would have a drink in these clubs, we were there for a different reason. We were hungry to know, to seek, to look, and to find. And so for you and I, are we hungry? Are we looking for it? Now, Jesus talks again about entering through the narrow gate. Now, years ago, as a family, we used to go to Astravelta. And it's a beautiful, beautiful place if you've ever been there. And I was about 8 or 9 years of age. And our family lived in Hertfordshire in London. And we would get in the car, pack all the car up, and drive the long journey to Wales. And as you know, Astravelta is out in the middle of nowhere. It's absolutely beautiful in the Brecon area with waterfalls. And we would go and stay in this little cottage. Now, every year, we had to look for it. Although we'd been there several times, you'd be out in the middle of the countryside, obviously in the days before sat-nav, no signs on the little B roads. And we would go and stay with our friends in this little cottage, and this is how you found it. A little B road went down past a stream, and then if you saw where the stream was, you go down another little B road, and as you drove along, you had to look for the little gate. And the little gate had the name of the farm, which is unpronounceable, on the gate. And you'd have to drive down, but because it'd all be overgrown, you would just be looking, and we'd be looking really carefully. Look, kids, look, we all need to be looking, and we'd be looking. So if you passed it, you had to drive miles to turn around. And we'd be looking, and eventually you'd see the little gate. And somebody'd have to jump out and open up the gate. And it was just big enough for a car to get through. And the car would go through, and then we'd close the gate, and you had to go on a long, narrow, winding road. And you're going to, my dad would say, shout, the first one who sees the cottage. And then you just see it through the trees, the little white cottage. This is the little cottage we used to stay in. And there it was. And it was at the, like the bottom of a valley hidden away that you couldn't find unless you looked for the narrow gate. And Jesus says this, enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life. And only a few find it. And Jesus is talking about this life and the next life. The pathway to destruction is easy. It's like driving from Hertfordshire to Wales on a big motorway. You're already going that way. It's big, it's easy, it's signposted. We're all going that way. But it's only when our heart says there has to be more to life than this, and I want to find out what it is, and that person is Jesus, that we give our life to Jesus, we search him out, we look for the narrow gate, he opens the gate because we knocked and he opens the gate, and then we live a life that is walking with him. It's a different kind of life, but it leads us to eternity with him. Amazing. What a generous God we serve. And lastly, so I want to ask the question, are we like the hungry boy with the empty plate? Or have we pushed the plate away? Because Jesus says, come and ask. Now lastly, he talks about the golden rule. And the golden rule is a little bit like in this whole passage now where he speaks to us about his generosity. He's saying, ask, I'll say yes. Ask and I'm there. Seek, I'll say yes, you will find me. Knock and I'll open the door. It's all about yes. It's all about his generosity, what he's going to put on our plate. And in the middle of it all, it's like a big cake of yes. And then in the middle, there's a little bit in the middle that Jesus says, hang on a minute, guys. While we're talking about everything that I am giving you, I am asking, what are you giving each other? So as we get into receive mode, oh, I'm receiving all this. I can just ask. He's going to say yes. I can approach him in prayer so much easier. And all this receiving, Jesus is saying, hang on, I just want you to remember, there's the middle section here of giving. And this is what he says. So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. Or in the message version, here is a simple rule of thumb, guide for behavior. Ask yourself, what would you want people to do for you? Then grab the initiative and do it for them. And it's a bit like Jesus saying, you've put out your plate and you want me to put on it bread and fish and an egg. But when someone else holds their plate out to you, what do you put on their plate? When they ask you for bread, do you go, oh, they'll make do with a stone? When they ask us for fish, do we go, shh, there's a snake, there's a scorpion? Do they get bad reply? Jesus is saying, in the middle of all this receiving, what are we giving to others? Now, this has been called the golden rule, and this is why. Some people have called it the Everest of all ethical teaching, the topmost peak of social ethics, because basically it's about a rule for living, or it would guide us how to live. Now, the difference with Jesus brought this radical new teaching. It was a new view of life, of our obligation to others. Now, up until this time, previously, in all different civilizations, there had been the negative version of what Jesus said. And so it was the basis for all ethical thought with Confucius, Buddhist teachings, the rabbis, Greeks, Romans. They all pretty much had a version of the negative side of this motto, which was, do not do to others what you would not have them do to you. So people, a lot of people in their cultures and philosophy and religion already had that teaching. Do not do to others what you would not have them do to you. In fact, the Greek emperor Alexander Severus wrote it on his wall and often was known to quote it. Now, the negative version is this. It's saying, don't do to others what you would hate being done to you. So if you would hate to be kicked or injured or stolen from, don't do that. So it's the negative version, and it's a basis for a civilized society. Without that kind of respect for one another, a society can't function. And so we all need to know, you know, safely that generally, day to day, an average person won't kill you. And an average person isn't going to beat you up if you get on the bus first. And the average person is not going to steal your bag if you go to the toilet on a train. You know, and so it's like the ethics for a civilized society that's in pretty much all cultures. Don't injure me, kill me, or steal from me. But this version is a kind of negative. It's trying not to hurt others, and it's avoiding. It's just, I don't need to put any effort into it. It's avoiding killing anybody. And it's avoiding stealing from someone. And this is in many cultures. But Jesus crashes into the culture, typically, with this radical new teaching. And it's sandwiched right here in the middle of all the generosity. And he just puts it in there, right in the middle, where we can't miss it. And Jesus says, do to others what you would have them do to you. And this means he's asking us to do something active. So the negative one is avoiding, oops, oh, I'm glad I didn't kill that person by accident or steal that suitcase. Or, you know, it's not a negative one. It's the positive. And Jesus is saying, actively take the initiative. It means I go and do to others what I would like being done to me. And it's a motivation of love. Now, you imagine, this is why it's called the golden rule. You imagine if we all lived like that, what the world would be like. If actually other people helped us, like we would like to be helped, because we have taken the initiative to help. So Jesus is saying, go out of your way. You choose, go out of your way. Go and be kind in the way that you would like to be shown kindness. Go and give like you would like to be given to. Forgive others like you would like to be forgiven. Praise others like you would like to be praised if you did a job well done. Make the effort to understand people like you would like to be understood. And so right here in the middle, Jesus puts this on us for us to take the initiative. And when he says it sums up the law and the prophets, later in Matthew 22, you know where he says, these two commands, the law and prophets hangs on these two commands, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, love your neighbor as yourself. And this is what this is really, love your neighbor as yourself. And so the challenge, I like that big cake. I want you to end this message with this big cake in your mind. This is like an enormous cake of Jesus giving to us, enormous. He's saying, try me, ask, try me out. But there, right through the middle, is that layer that says, on other people's empty plate, take the initiative to give what you would want. So to sum up, Jesus says, do you want to know how to approach me? When you approach me, what am I like? I am yes. I am yes. Boldly come. He forgives our sins. We can walk straight into his presence. He forgives us. He loves us. He wants to answer our prayers. He is the yes. But also, when he says, I will come and fill your plate with what you have asked for, he wants us to fill the plate of others. So he says, I am the yes to you, be the yes to the others in your life. Amen. Let's pray. Jesus, we are continually amazed at your teaching, that you taught with authority and insight, that you see straight into our hearts. So, Lord, first I ask that you will blow away all trepidation in our hearts, all fear of coming to you, that we will be audacious in our requests, that we will be cheeky. I pray, Lord, that you'll deposit in our heart that sense that you are the yes in our life. You want to walk with us. You want to answer our prayers. It's your desire to give us your Holy Spirit, that we walk with you in power. Lord, we thank you that you are such a generous God. And Lord, we also confess before you the times that we really haven't done to others as we would like them to do to us. But we ask, Lord, that you will give us the strength to take the initiative and to look and care for our brothers and sisters and those in our lives and in the world, that we are people who take the initiative with good things. So, Lord, we thank you that you pour your good things into our life. And we ask, Lord, that we'd be on the alert, that it would change the way we live, that we look to do good things to others, that they may know that you are real. In Jesus' name, amen.